This episode of WDM Today is being sponsored by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. And boy, I'll tell you, you know, when you're trying to plan a Walt Disney World trip, there's a lot that goes into it, from where you're going to stay, what kind of tickets you're going to get, best deals that are out there, you know, restaurant reservations. Boy, there's just a lot. And now with My Magic Experience, there's more than ever. But the good news is you don't have to just listen to 1,400 episodes of this podcast in order to figure out what the heck is going on. No, just go to MEI and Mouse Fan Travel right now, and they can help you plan that trip. Not only are they're not just people that just push the button for you and just like, okay, here, how many people? Okay, and book. No, they do way more than that. They're here to help you plan that trip. Emphasis on plan. So if you got questions like, you know, which resort is going to be a better deal for me? Which ticket package makes sense for me? I want to make sure I eat at this restaurant. You know, how does FastPass Plus work exactly? How do I get this? They can do all that and more, answer all those questions. They're your partner in planning it. And again, they're going to get you the best deal not only today, but every day between today and when your trip actually happens, because, man, there's a lot of discounts to get out there. Check them out right now at mousefantravel.com.
It's Wednesday, December the 3rd, 2014, and this is episode 1430 of Walt Disney World Today, sponsored by mousefantravel.com. Once again, I'm your host for this introduction, Philip Burton from filecats.co.uk. I'm the WDW Today archivist, and I help out with the Facebook page, Twitter account, and I monitor the WDW Today wiki, including working out who has guessed Mike Sculper's introductions.
Talking to the show, Mike.
You may not survive to pass this way again.
Maelstrom, come on. What are you, insulting our intelligence?
That your guess?
No.
It's Pirates of the Caribbean.
I knew it was water-based. That's close enough. Philip, give me a plus one. Also joining us on today's show is Mike Newell of Mouse World Radio. What's your Mike?
I know, he's very strict over there, over the other side of the pond.
Those Brits.
Stiff
upper lip.
I don't think he's going to give you that point. Mm.
As you might have guessed, we don't have our usual listener questions show today. But if you do have any questions, please send them in to questions@wdwtoday.com. Instead, we are continuing with our series of The Best of WDW Today. And today we have reached episode 27 for April 2008. We've got lots of tales of Walt Disney World adventures, we're looking at what's wrong with the world, and for episode 400, Mike Newell prepared a blooper reel of mistakes that everybody else did. But keep listening, because then we have highlights from episode 401, which is one of the best interviews that the podcast has ever done, in my opinion. So that's all from me for today. I'll see you on Friday, and take it away, Matt.
Today's episode of Walt Disney World Today is being sponsored by Zombie Kid Jonathan. I like turtles.
This is Walt Disney World Today. Give us 5 minutes and we'll give you the world.
And it's Monday, March 31st, 2008, and this is episode 390 of Walt Disney World Today. I am Matt Hotchberg of StudioCentral.com. On the show today, we have Len Testa, co-author of the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. And Len, let me just say that April Fool's jokes are just way beneath us, and we would never stoop to such a low again.
That's right. Again. We would never be so lame as to come up with any sort of April Fool's. We respect our listeners far, far, far too much. And by listeners, of course, I mean all the ones that would sue us.
That's right. Also on the show today, we have Mike Scopa of All Ears Net. Welcome, Mike.
Some of the answers are being discovered just ahead.
The land.
Right.
Yeah. Wow.
Good.
Dude.
High five right there.
Thanks.
Also on the show today, we have Annette Owens of MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. Hi, Annette.
Hi, guys.
Hello. Hi, Annette. Hey, I got a story for you. I got a Plaza restaurant story. Back in 1992, I remember going other family.
Exactly.
And my son and I, we're there for supper. And back then, they had different items on the menu. And one of the desserts was called a bicycle built for two. And a bicycle built for two was a huge sundae. It probably was a half a gallon of ice cream, if nothing else. And it came out in these huge globes that were, it looked as though you could put two grapefruits in there. And you could put as much, you know, junk on there as whatever. So I remember ordering one, and my son, 10 years old at the time, ordered one. So here we have two huge sundaes at our table, and we're eating them. So we finished them, and my son wasn't big at all back then, you know. And so we finished them, and all of a sudden, all the waitresses come over to the table. And I'm thinking, uh-oh, what happened?
Ready for the Heimlich?
Yeah, what did I do wrong? So they all came over, and I looked at them, and the waitress who was taking care of our table said to us, she said, we just want you to know that this is the first time that any of us have ever seen one table order a bicycle bill for two and finish both of them.
Fatty. Wow.
And they gave us a standing
American
ovation.
American slob, yeah.
I wanted to say, does that mean it's free? You know?
Yeah, exactly.
But they don't offer it anymore.
Next restaurant is the Main Street Bake Shop, and this is the de facto first stop for everyone who skipped breakfast and thought they could make it until noon, and then 9:30 rolls around and is like, that ain't happening.
Yeah, exactly. Here, this is the thing. If you ever needed a Rice Krispie treat the size of your head, I mean, this is where you get it, right?
Yeah.
You know, chocolate covered, yeah. Or with peanut butter, or if you need, you know, enough fudge to, you know, kill a small farm animal, this is where you go.
This is where you learn to share.
What's
ass.
That word?
Okay, whatever.
Interesting mental concept.
Note. Mental note. Remember to eat part of Annette's food. Yes.
I will let share. Let
Annette order before Len.
I'm working on it. I'll be invited in May, won't I?
Exactly. Come on down. Bring your wallet.
Share.
That's the name of Sonny Bono's ex-wife. Go ahead.
And this is episode 391 of Walt Disney World Today. Beach Club.
Beach Club, Beach Club, Beach Club, Beach Club, Beach Club. Put yourself on hold while I look it up in the unofficial guide. I just did this, actually. I just confirmed the numbers. Hold on.
Annette, you love saying at the unofficial guide, don't you? I mean, at the unofficial guide. You know what I meant. At Beach Club Resort.
I'd like to book a room at the unofficial guide. I'd like somewhere between page 2 and 27.
Can't wait to see that resort when it's built.
With the view of the front page and front matter, you know.
Brian also writes, by the way, Matt, don't worry about your complex of riding dinosaur. I have the same thing with Tower of Terror. Thanks in advance for your help. If you manage to read this before our vacation, if not, so long. Yours truly, a somewhat devoted listener and a Disney geek who needs to get a life. P.S. When I mentioned riding dinosaur, I didn't mean carpooling with Scopa. Sorry for the confusion.
Wow. Get that? You're old. Awesome.
This is episode 392 of Walt Disney World Today.
You know, no one's saying you have to tip. I think that's my philosophy for the second half of 2008.
Sure, you get chased out of Walt Disney World with pitchforks.
With pitchforks. I mean, really, there's no law against you tipping, you know, a good solid $2, $3.
Okay, the hate mail can be sent to len@doringblance.com.
Just kidding. But I think that's one way of keeping your dining costs down by a good 18%.
There you go.
By not tipping.
Anyway. So, but that's something to keep in mind because I know in past
years. The system's
years,
not going to change, Matt, unless we all band together. I'm sorry, go ahead.
And this is episode 393 of Walt Disney World Today.
It's a new NYPD pizza was voted best pizza 9 years in a row in the best of Orlando.
Really?
Yeah, NYPD pizza.net.
I know, I mocked the name for a long time. Since I moved down here, it's like, look at this stupid place, you know? Who do they think they are? But
they
it
are,
really is.
I've heard of them because they're being sued by the city of New York because of the NYPD name. So we've heard of them up here, but never had it.
What if it's the New York Pizza Department? That's what I would say.
That's very clever. New York, they use the NYPD insignia. I think that's what they were going after.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah.
People go down there and go, okay, this must be pizza that's, you know, official pizza from New York.
Official approved by.
Give me a break.
Jesus. Like that's the best thing that New York has to spend their
yeah, they got all their problems to deal with at all.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh well, we've solved the crime and and drug problems. Yeah. Let's turn that to illegal use of police shields on pizzerias. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Mrs. Newell, we don't have any money for a budget increase in the education budget. We're trying to get rid of these bootleg NYPD pizza places in Florida right now. Our budget is tied up.
People, they're using something that kind of sort of looks like a police department logo. We know we can't have that. Because you know, when you're googling New York Police Department to report a crime, you might get distracted and order pizza and completely forget about what you're doing.
That's right.
Happens to me all the time.
You dial 911 for the police, and 311 for pizza.
Right. And I'll have interest in that. Yeah,
I have the emergency munchies. Can you send over a pizza?
Exactly. You know what they should do? They should call their operator should be called dispatch.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome. Could you imagine their delivery cars should be squad cars?
They do. They have like their cars do like they make it look like police vans.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Very well done.
Good option also is in the Celebration Town Tavern, but certainly there's also some other great restaurants in Celebration, which I'm going to be aiming to try out over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, let me know if you find anything good, especially in the ethnic cuisine, because you know we're always looking for places like that. And of course, since we're going to be down there in May, and we're probably going to have to feed 15 or 20 people one night. So yeah, let me know.
Will do.
I want to do the pizza.
Yeah, the pizza sounds. Well, no, wherever you want to go. I mean, we can get food from two places. I just don't want to get pizza and Indian food. I gotta pick a match. So.
You run on the bathroom.
Nice.
Welcome to pizza. Welcome.
Oh no! Here comes the email.
Oh.
All the Indian mail.
Here comes racist scopa.
Welcome to Pizza Palace. Passage to pizza.
All right. Well, that's it for us today. This episode has been sponsored.
Might be it for us forever. Who knows? Lawyers, get in touch with us.
You're a very bad man.
This episode has been sponsored by Owner's Lock, which is a great service for storing all of your junk that you're bringing down to Walt Disney World. Have it delivered between. It's Wednesday, and we're answering your listener questions. Next email is from Darren from Middlebury, Connecticut, who writes, "Dear Mike, Matt, and Lou."
What? Lou. Ouch.
I learned a valuable lesson while washing my hands at Walt Disney World on my last trip, and I'd like to share it with some of our listeners. I'd also like to thank Sparkle Paper Towel Brand for providing me with the hand-washing tip sign in the bathrooms. They are fantastic. For example, did you know that you should first wet your hands and then apply soap? It's true. Then, according to Sparkle, you should scrub your hands and then rinse. Now for the tricky part, you must dry your hands using paper towels. No other method of drying will work here. Thanks, Sparkle.
Yeah, that's amazing. I was so ready to look for the air dryers.
Len, new chapter in the unofficial guide, how to wash your hands.
Exactly.
And this is episode 399. And we thought we would take some time to, kind of examine some of the different aspects of Walt Disney World that we think that Disney, first of all, we see something wrong. And then we also look at Disney we give a suggestion on how Disney can fix this. Because we're not just, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, go fix it. We got it's constructive criticism here, if you will. So, Mr. Scopa, since you brought this idea to the table, why don't you get us started?
Thank you, Matt. There are about five or six that come to my brain right off the bat. But the one that I've been thinking about for such a long time is that I really, really have a problem.
Small kids. Children.
Besides that, that's a given. I don't like the way that they stagger the operating hours in Epcot. I really don't like the way that they have Future World open first, and then World Showcase somewhere around 10 or 11 o'clock.
Right.
So I could definitely see Mexico and Norway being open, and also Canada. And that would be enough for people. You could do a breakfast at Le Cellier. Imagine how popular that would be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Steak for breakfast.
The place really needs some extra attention over there,
Exactly. He needs to bring up the dining room.
Len makes a good point because – Len makes a good point because we know that dining room is the smallest dining room in the universe, and we know that we know that they would make. I mean, that's the thing. If you imagine open it, they will come. Lover's
breakfast at Canada? The lumberjack special. Oh my God.
Canadian bacon.
Canadian bacon. And regular bacon. It'd be like the Miss Universe of bacon pageants. It would be awesome. You can have the World Showcase of Bacon.
There's breakfast. You go.
It's bacon.
The World Showcase of Bacon. You can have the lumberjack coffee. Come on, you could have maple syrup. Oh my God. I'm calling Disney as soon as we're done with this.
It always comes back to food. It always comes back to food.
That's exactly. Right. I'm thinking we do that. We do the and again, Norway. You know, I'm walking up to the princesses going, baby, you're opening or not. I don't, you know. Where Maelstrom is up or it's not up. Whatever. Go ahead.
One of the things that came to mind when we thought about this topic was, I think annual pass holders in general were coming down quite a bit. And as annual pass holders, we tend to stay on property. And as annual pass holders, we tend to encourage others to come down because we like it so much. Yet, it's like, really, think of all the benefits that we've gotten over the past year. You know, you get a few, attraction previews. Okay, that's nice. Some pins. Ooh. And, the discounts seem to be shrinking. And this is episode 400 of Walt Disney World Today. I'm Matt Hotchberg from StudioCentral.com. That's all the sound effects we have, folks. On the show today, we have Mike Scopa of AllEars.net. Mike, what intro do you have that is worthy of episode 400?
Muppets.
No, Cranium Command.
Oh, Muppets pre-show. Why did the chicken cross the street?
Next email is from Chip Joyce, who writes, all right, I think you'll get to this before August 2008, so here goes. My girlfriend is a dessert junkie and still laments the fact that we didn't try the mini donuts at Blizzard Beach on our last trip. Our next trip will be later this year, but I don't anticipate that we'll be going to the water parks this time around. Is there anywhere else on property that you can get the same mini donuts that they have at that stand at Blizzard Beach?
I think – so for the listeners who don't know, they're like the size of donut holes.
I've never had them fresh. Before.
So Hannah won 24 of them when she was the big kahuna of the day over at Blizzard Beach.
Nice.
Yeah. Is it Blizzard Beach or Typhoon Lagoon?
I think – anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. So she – so we won 24 of them. So they're quickly – they're deep fried quickly. And then while they're still hot, they put them in a brown paper sack. And then like a quarter of a cup of sugar goes on them, and then shake the bag to get the sugar all over them. They are fabulous when they're hot. You just need a huge thing of Coke though to go with them, because the first one's just gonna burn your mouth going down.
Nice.
But it was fabulous. So they were really, really good. But I don't know anywhere else on Disney property where you could get it.
I've never run into them. I mean, this is the first I've heard about them. Have any of you guys seen them anywhere?
Nope. I mean, the two of us ate the 24 of them.
Two of us, meaning you had all of them and you maybe gave one to Hannah, who actually won it?
Mine had 23.
Matt, it just doesn't sound that. It sounds mean. You know, when I say it, it sounds like responsible parenting by not letting the child have too much sugar.
That's right. This isn't good for you. I'm going to take it all for you.
Hold on. Let me just check on you.
Nom, 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 nom.
Cookies. Exactly. Next email is from Dee Dee from Frankfort, Illinois, who writes, I wrote you a little while ago asking a few questions about the world and what I needed to save since we pay cash for everything. Anyway, my husband reminded me that active duty military, which he is, gets to use Shades of Green, and we know very little about it. We know that we can stay there and we get a discount on tickets, but what if there are – what are the differences between Shades of Green and the rest of the resort? Are there any other military discounts? I know since Scope is probably a veteran, but I was wondering what he, as a veteran
of the Spanish-American War,
I just got a better line. But I was wondering what he, as a veteran of the Revolutionary War or the Crusades, just kidding.
I remember when Pope Urban XVI called us.
Remember the monitor? Yeah.
Remember the monitor. Remember the Bane. Remember the monitor. Reference. That was the war. That was nice.
All right. Episode 400, here we come. This episode is sponsored by Fred Block. Hold on. He screwed up the ad copy. Hold on.
This episode of Walt Disney World Today is being sponsored by Fred Block's Magic Meet in Disney Fan Gatherings. What? All right, let's try this again.
Scopa, I have a funny feeling you'll know the answer to this one.
I'm sorry, I didn't. I was answering an email. What was that question again?
What?
All right, here we go.
Save Mr. That. Jefferson, I object. The Confederation.
Wow, you were sleeping.
Well, you slept
all
soundly.
Ratified. All right.
Here we go. Three, two,
one.
This episode of Walt Disney World Today is being sponsored by Fred Block's Magic Meets and Disney Fan Gatherings. Join over 50 Try this again. I'm trying. Fred Block's Magic Meets. All right, I got it.
And also the show is a fantastic author of the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. Welcome, one.
How the f*** is it going, Matt?
Oh, jeez. Oh,
hello. Oh,
oh, man.
Wow. I never thought I heard that from you.
All right, let's try this again.
whoa. When it's time to change. When it's time to change.
Yeah, I remember
puberty. Yeah. Oh, man.
This episode is... this episode of Walt Disney World is nice.
You gotta send this outtake to Fred.
You, Fred Block, and your non-English wording of stuff. Where's the punctuation? Love you, Fred.
Giants fan.
All right, here we go.
And for anybody going, you know, April and May, don't forget about that wonderful package that's out now with a free ticket upgrade, 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 ticket upgrade. Just another.
Wow.
Ow.
What
ow.
Was that? All right. We hear you.
Seriously, I've got to stop drinking.
Wait, what's in this fruit tool?
Oh, my God.
This episode of Walt Disney World Today. All right, now I made myself laugh. Here we go again.
Some people do anything to be on episode 400, huh? Sorry.
Well, that's it for us today. If you want to find our older episodes, read our show notes, or send us your comments, visit the Walt Disney World Today website at wdwtoday.com. For Len Testa, Mike Silva, Mike Duel, I'm Matt Hotchberg. We'll see you on the next show.
WDWTODAY. When you are in trouble, you'll find WDWTODAY.
This is Walt Disney World Today. Give us 5 minutes and we'll give you the world.
It's Friday, April 25th, 2008, and this is episode 401 of Walt Disney World Today. I'm Matt Hotchberg from StudioCentral.com, and today it's just me. I have the exclusive opportunity to interview a real talented cast member who works for, obviously, in Walt Disney World in my beloved Hollywood studios. That's, of course, Timmy Britt. Welcome to the show, Timmy.
Hi, how are you?
We're over here in an office here in Walt Disney World, and we're talking to Timmy because what you used to work at, Timmy, was the Animation Academy at Hollywood Studios, and it's an attraction that it's really overlooked by many guests. Many guests either don't know it's there or just bypass it, kind of writing it off like, I don't need to stop there. And I was one of those guests for a while. You know, I went there a couple times, and my last time there, I was there at the end of the studio. It was like, I think the studios were closing about 9 or 10 o'clock at night. It was really the end, and we were, myself and Mike Newell, who's not here right now, we were on our way out of the studios. We were leaving the Animation Academy. We had actually just done the last show, and you stopped us, and you really pleaded with us to come to your show. It's your last show of the day. It'll be great. You know, there's nothing else to do in the park. You might as well come here. So we said, okay. We went for it, and it was one of the best experiences that we've ever had, and it was so good that we decided we wanted to bring you on, Timmy.
My fifth birthday, October 25th, 1971. I'm standing there watching this little old man and this adorable mouse dedicate the park to this wonderful man named Walt Disney. That was Roy Disney, and that was the opening day celebration for the Magic Kingdom.
Oh, wow.
It was the, I know they opened October 1st, but on the 25th, actually, the commemoration day, if I'm saying that correctly.
Right.
So to be there as a five-year-old boy, now I really didn't understand what was going on, but I took away from the architecture, the ambiance. I remember the color of the sky. What a neat place. Like, if you could spend the rest of your life somewhere, this would be like, I always pictured it as heaven on earth. It's right. Everybody was so friendly and happy, and it was colorful, and there was no sadness, you know. Well, this one particular show, I just happened to be in the right place at the right time, which I think is actually part of the magic, is that somehow the opportunities are right there for you if you're aware of them and you can recognize them. But I saw this poor little girl, and God bless her. She was she had a spinal very problem with her spine, and right. She was twisted and turned, and she was facing a pillar. She couldn't see anything, and for me, that just didn't sit well. I knew I couldn't just walk away without doing anything. So half the magic in the park is the guests. Air conditioning's the other half. So I went up to her, and I said to her parents, I said, if there's any way I can get some of these guests to just move for me, just slide over, if they'd just be gracious enough to do that, I'd love to put your daughter right up front, right where the rock that Ariel sings from.
Right.
And would you be interested in maybe moving if it wouldn't be too embarrassing for you and do this in front of the whole entire crowd? They said, no, absolutely not. So I went down, I cleared it with a few guests. They couldn't have been more gracious. That's where the magic lied. Those people had their seats right in the front row. Matt, they gave them up so that this little girl could come down. So there's kindness right there. The first complete strangers being generous. I just facilitated it. Moved the girl right up front. Showing off without a hitch, as it almost always does. Ariel sang just so beautifully. It was wonderful. At the end of the show, I came over to see how she enjoyed it. And it's hard for me to tell you this part because every time I talk about it, I get the chills. But the little girl turned her body and her head and said, thank you, Timmy. And it was hard to decipher, but that's what she said. She said, thank you, Timmy. And I said, oh, well, you're welcome, because I've never met the girl before or anything. And I looked over, and there's this, her mother is crying her eyes out, weeping, sobbing. She was inconsolable. Her father jumps up right away because now I have this look on my face like, well, what did I do? I must have. He pulls me aside. I said, Timmy, you would have no way known this, but our daughters make a wish, and she has about 3 days to live. And she hasn't said a word or turned since she's been sick. So for us to come down here and her mother to see her open up and turn and move and say this,
right?
You have no idea what you've done for us and our family, and there's no way we can ever repay you. And, you know, you've just really given us that magic that we came down here to look for. Now, I just had started the job, and I knew that, you know, that was kind of a powerful thing.
Right.
To just take an opportunity where somebody needed help, ask other people to be gracious, and hear this little girl had a dream come true for her. Is that just a job? No. Is that just a vacation? No. This is a memory that the family will have a long, long time, and it was a privilege to just play a little part in that.
Absolutely.
So once that happened, I realized, okay, I have a lot more power here than I realized for good.
Yeah.
And for magic and happiness. And these families, you know, it's all about love.
Yeah.
And so if that family could be strong enough to sit through this with them, other cast members, all they have to do is just find a way, go the extra effort, work with gratitude. The magic is all around us. Walt Disney left us this wonderful backdrop. The stage is set. It's up to us. And a kind heart and some good, a little bit of energy and enthusiasm every day. And you can really see some wonderful things. There's this family, the Dixon family. I will never forget them. And they're all wearing these white shirts with, in the front it says, pray for a miracle, Clay Dixon. And on the back it said, ask how you can help. So obviously they have a child that has something wrong. So I go up to the mother and I said, listen, my name is Timmy Britt and I'm one of the Academy artists here. And maybe if I drew you a Mickey Mouse, be something nice, you can find Mickey and have him sign it. Just a nice little souvenir in my small part. Maybe I can make your vacation just a little bit nicer. Well, she was very kind and she introduced me to this little boy, Clay. And here's where it just is brutal. This little boy was so smart and so cute and so polite and so well-spoken. He had no idea what was in store for him. His mom told me before I met him that, you know, there was nothing they could do and his spine was fused with the back of his skull or something. He had some kind of tumor that was inoperable and there's only this one place that costs all this money and they weren't even planning on coming until 2009, but the community they were in and the church they were in paid for their trip and yeah. It was a miracle that he was still alive. And I thought, wow, what a special kid. What strong parents to come here. So I said, okay, well, listen, I'm going to start my class now, but I'm going to make sure I draw you a Mickey Mouse, and then if you don't mind, before you leave, just stop by the academy. I'll make sure I give it to you. Thought nothing else of it. went up to the academy, saw the people coming in, asked where they were from. There was people from Poland, and there was people from, like, all over the place. Brazil and Ecuador and all over this great country, all over the United States. And I let them know. I said, you know, you might have seen out there that family with the white shirts, and I'd just like to dedicate the next two classes. I think if we can have some fun, make a little magic, and really just have a lot of joy, and just dedicate this poor family because they're going through something really rough, and I'd like to just do my part. Well, the people in that class were so gracious. I'm telling you, again, the guests, sorry, after magic, they all said, absolutely. Now, the family's not even there, but they know who I'm talking about because they've seen them throughout the attraction. So we just laughed and had fun and had a great, great class. Well, that class, I drew Mickey Mouse, and at the end of the class, I went out to go find them, but I had to set up for the next class, so I didn't get a chance to go out and give them the Mickey Mouse yet. I opened up the doors for the next class, figuring maybe they'll stop by. Everybody that was in the first class, because you have two classes, they're each a half hour for a 1 hour set. Everybody that was in that first class went around again. They missed Fantasmic, Matt. They didn't go to Fantasmic so that they could be a part of this 1 hour dedicated to this little boy. And right away, I thought I felt really special. I thought that there was a powerful thing going on right now. It was really nice for those families to give up Fantasmic to come be a part of something dedicated to a little boy they'd never even met. Well, here, the Dixon family was out in the queue waiting to be a part of the 6:30 show. I had no idea. So when the doors opened up, the guests came in like they'd known them the whole time. Timmy, they're here. The Dixon family's here, and Clay's here. So sure enough, I gave the mother the Mickey Mouse. But then I took Clay. Everybody else got stools, but I took him up on stage, put him in my chair, which I never use. I always stand when I draw. Put him up in my chair. He had the Sorcerer Mickey's hat, the picture of cuteness. Gave him a lap board, and we decided to draw Winnie the Pooh. Well, right into it, we get into like 2 seconds of the drawing, and Clay's little pencil breaks. And so I was inspired. I said, you know what, Clay, I don't want you to give up. Sometimes in life things are going to be rough, and I don't want you to quit, so I'm going to give you something very special. And we have these, they're called China markers or wax markers, and they have a little string you pull and unravel, and it always leads you a little bit more wax. You don't ever have to sharpen them.
Right.
So I gave him a brand new one. I said, when things get rough, I just want you to pull this down, and remember, there's always a little bit more hope. Keep on going. Don't give up. Don't quit. The audience picked up on what I was saying without telling a six-year-old boy, you know, you have a fight of your life ahead of you.
Right.
And so the parents, I started to see that the people really saw that I was serious about doing it. So then people started to get behind it a lot. And throughout the course of the drawing, I would bring Clay's and put it on the camera so the audience would see his drawing. And I'll be honest with you, it was one of the worst Winnie the Poohs I've ever seen. It was so bad, and yet it was the cutest thing I've ever seen. There was more love in those lines and more appeal to that drawing that it just made people from all over the country. They were weeping in different languages. They were so touched by this little boy's kindness and sweetness and how strong the parents were. So as the class goes on and on, you know, we're making jokes about Winnie the Pooh and trying to keep it lighthearted and everything like that. But the whole time, it's a memory people will never forget. There was people in that class that I know are thinking about it still. About, you know, they went off to back to Egypt and South Africa and Poland. And just that when they look back on their trip to Disney World, they were part of something really, really special. Well, at the end of the class, you know, of course, I put Clay's up when it was finished, and it was just so cute. It was exactly what a six-year-old drawing was supposed to be. And he was so proud of it. And to see the pride in his parents and his brother, who was there as well. Well, at the end of the class, I gave the drawing of Winnie the Pooh mine to his mom as well. And I said, you know, let Clay practice on this. Normally, at the end of a class like that, you know, you can feel the audience. They come up. They want pictures of me and me to sign their little drawings and stuff like that, which is I'm very flattered to do. But this class, they all went to Clay's mom. And I said, how can we help? What's the website? And what can we do? People didn't even speak English when I would help this family. And I just sat back and watched what had happened and unfolded. So the father in front of the class comes over to me and takes his shirt off his back, the one that says the miracle.
Right.
Takes it right off his back in front of the classroom, hands it to me and says, Timmy, I don't think anybody here at Disney World's made more magic for my family than you have. Thank you so much. And I just left stage. I couldn't even keep it together. I was just so touched. I'm getting choked up now thinking about it. I drove home that night and I realized, wow, what an opportunity, what a privilege, what an honor.
Yeah, absolutely.
To be a part of something so beautiful. And we had fun the whole time. Mickey Mouse walks by and I just couldn't help. You know, I get overwhelmed. I get starstruck just like a normal guest would. And I said, oh, Mickey, I'm just a huge fan. And is there any way you could sit down with me for 5 seconds? And here you'll see a picture. Well, Mickey Mouse sits next to me. There's nobody around, okay? And I show him, I tell him how we draw Mickey Mouse.
Right.
Circle, and we turn it, it represents friendship and peace and love and all the little symbols that you can find in Mickey Mouse's face. Well, I'm drawing with him. I'm thinking, man, this is really, really cool. What an opportunity for me. Nobody around. Well, I draw the picture of Mickey. I actually give it to Mickey Mouse so he can take it back to his little house and hang it up on his refrigerator. And this guest walks up to me and shows me on her camera on the view screen me and Mickey Mouse sitting next to each other drawing, nobody else around. And I thought, how cool. She said, yeah, I was just coming through to see what was going on. Didn't look there was much was going on. And for a second there, I saw a real magic moment. And I wanted to capture it on my camera. And she gave me her name and her address, and she mailed it back to me after she developed it in this real glossy. It's just a wonderful, like, for me, I got back what I'm trying to give my whole time here at Disney World.
Well, Timmy, thanks for coming on and talking with us.
It was my pleasure. Thank you so much, man.
Anytime. And that's it for us today. If you want to find our older episodes, read our show notes, or send us your comments, visit the Walt Disney World Today website at www.wdwtoday.com. For Line Testa, Mike Scopa, and Mike Newell, I'm Matt Hotchberg. We'll see you on the next show.
How do you say Mangello in Indian?
Mangello.
Mangello.
What potato?
That's all for today. Just a reminder that this episode has been sponsored by MouseFanTravel.com. The production of the original shows used in this episode was by Mouse World Radio and WDW Today. The production of this highlight show was by foulcats.co.uk. Check it out, and I'll see you on Friday.